Hi, I'm Derek Jensen. This is Resistance Radio on the Progressive Radio Network. My guest today is Rose Webster. She's a Canadian freelance writer, researcher, and new documentary filmmaker. She's educated in nursing, orthotics, prosthetics, artificial limbs, and ophthalmology. In 2003, she was a frontline SARS worker. Rose has been working in the writing editing field since 2010. Her work is on InfoBarrel. She's also written for Palm, Main Fin, and Environment 9/11. Her blog, Rose Writes, a blog for the underdog, has garnered over 30,000 views. Today we talk about the plan by the United States government to release Wolbachia-infected mosquitoes, something people may not have heard anything about. So can you tell us about this plan, and then what is wrong with it?
Okay, so what I found out was that they plan to release these Wolbachia-infected aedes in 20 U.S. states that encompass from Tennessee all the way north to Maine, and also Nevada and California. Now, for over 7 years, these releases have been carried out in Brazil, Colombia, Indonesia, Vietnam, China, and Australia, and more recently in California and Florida. I believe India is also going to be releasing them. And to be fair, I don't doubt that Wolbachia inhibits viruses in the Aedes genus.
Wait. Let's back up and say what Aedes is and what Wolbachia is. Let's get real basic before we go to this. I'm sorry.
Okay. So the Aedes genus is a genus of mosquito that people associate with Zika virus and numerous viruses that cause human pathogens. And it's the only one that's being considered to transmit Zika currently, even though five independent research teams have also found the Culex genus, which behaves entirely different from Aedes, to also be vectors of Zika. And this is downplayed or ignored.
And are the Aedes mosquitoes, where are they native to, and where are they in general now? Are they native to North America? Are they regular mosquitoes? If somebody hears a mosquito buzzing around the room right now, is it an Aedes or is it something else?
Well, there's many genuses of mosquitoes. Aedes, rightfully, is an invasive species. We do have it in the southern U.S. and up the northeastern seaboard area. It is where the CDC is saying it is, Aedes albopictus and Aedes aegypti. However, what's been ignored is the studies that are finding that the Culex species, which encompasses the entire U.S., including Canada and Europe and Australia and other places, these are also capable of being vectors of the Zika virus, is the main one I'm concerned about.
And for people who may not have paid any attention to the news over the past year, tell us about Zika a little bit too.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So Zika tends to target the gonads, heart, central nervous system, optic lobe, and retina. And quite frankly, Wolbachia targets these areas too. So when I say to you that, you know, in Aedes, it's a smaller mosquito, and the Wolbachia cannot fit through the stinger, the proboscis. It can in the Culex species, though, which will acquire it eventually. And what I think is happening with Zika is it's behaving like a bacterial phage working in tandem with Wolbachia and targeting those areas, the gonads, heart, central nervous system, optic lobe, and retina, invertebrates. Okay, so the thing about Wolbachia people don't realize is that it does not disperse alone, but must disperse with mitochondria. And going back to like grade 13 biology, you might have remembered, okay, mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell. Well, Wolbachia and mitochondria compete for the same host elements during maternal transmission. And, you know, the microtubules and even interacts with the nuclear membrane. So certain mutations of mitochondrial disease affects high energy areas, such as the brain, the muscles, the central nervous system, and the eye, sort of like Zika. So my background, and your readers might be, our listeners might be thinking, well, why should we listen to her? Well, my background in nursing gave me a good understanding of pharmacology and microbiology. I took those very seriously. With artificial limbs and orthotic devices, lymphatic filariasis, if you ever look that up, that's a horrible manifestation of Wolbachia. And with ophthalmology, we have river blindness. And in river blindness, it's not the nematode worm itself that triggers the problem. It's the Wolbachia that triggers the immune response that damages the eye. So now with these releases, what had me jumping up and down about this was, what are you doing? You're going to put that type of Wolbachia in directly into a mosquito that's never had it before. It will go into the larvae and into the eggs. And it's very high up in the food chain. We have copepods that feed preferentially off the Aedes genus. We have birds. We have planktiferous fish. We have other aquatic species that will get inordinate amounts of Wolbachia. And what really was shocking to me is that the W. melpop strain, it's temperature dependent. And with increased temperature, it favors the expansion of Wolbachia from the central brain to peripheral areas such as the optic lobe and retina. And the authors that deserve that credit are Strunov, Kiselva, and Gottlieb, 2013. Now, the W. melpop strain of Wolbachia is one of the ones used in these Wolbachia-infected Aedes releases, which I hate to say it, it's funded by Bill and Melinda Gates and four governments, including USAID. And they blocked me from their site entirely.
Okay, so let's back up. You have
I'm getting very technical, I know.
Here's what I perceive you to be saying. Is that there is a people have heard about the Zika virus that is causing various birth defects and other problems, and this is presumed to be transmitted by a certain type of mosquito. And
that's correct.
And so in response, the government, et cetera, is going to try to wipe out the carriers of this type of the carriers of the Zika virus are these Aedes mosquitoes, according to them, and they want to wipe these out, and so they're going to infect them with this Wolbachia bacteria.
That's what the public's being told.
Before we're told what's wrong with this, let's establish the ground of what we're being told. So the Wolbachia infected mosquitoes, they release male mosquitoes infected with this, and then let's say the plan goes 100% according to the way it's supposed to. Tell me what happens. What is their idea of what happens next?
Okay, their idea is that this inhibits viruses in that mosquito. In other words, the Aedes albopictus and Aedes aegypti can no longer transmit Zika, and that their eggs will die, that there's cytoplasmic incompatibility. So these things do not become disease carriers, but they're only two types of mosquitoes out of seven potential types in the United States that can transmit Zika to human beings and mammals, for that matter. That's the problem. And just to make it real simple here, is trillions of these have been introduced into the food chain. Well, they eventually die. Mosquitoes don't live forever, or they're consumed and something else in nature absorbs it. So I think what people are forgetting is, what about the hundreds of birds that consume them, or bats or fish or whatever, that die, and other organisms feed off it? We have about a dozen or more blood-sucking arthropods out there, like insects that can transmit disease to humans and people. So we have other things, and we have co-ingestion and secondary predation. So, you know, the thing is, people are forgetting this, is that eventually these things will die or be consumed and absorbed by something else. And the problem is that inordinate amounts causes pathologies in people. And what I found in researching Kulaks and Aedes, they almost behave completely opposite to each other. Kulaks are overnight biters. And Kulaks larvae tend to stay on the surface of the water more, whereas Aedes, when food sources are depleted, they tend to dive deeper. So I don't know if you heard about this, but there was, I think it was last week, somebody was reporting, marine biologists baffled that octopus are walking on the beaches, and this was in the UK. And I'm thinking, well, now we got Aedes, a species that never had Wolbachia, infected with Wolbachia, and it's behaving differently. And fish and other copepods and aquatic species that fed off this this genus, okay, the Aedes larvae, they look for, like fish use the sense of movement and location for food, whereas birds, it's sight. And even Kulaks and Aedes look different. And all I have seen, and it's been so frustrating, is the public's been fed millions of images of Aedes. I think we all know it's black and white, black and white. Well, Kulaks are larger. They can transmit the nematode worm that emits Wolbachia through their proboscis. So it stands to reason they can also transmit Wolbachia. And we do have an ignored paper from Chen Dong et al. From 2015 that they did find it in humans without any trace of the nematode worm. And their conclusion was that Wolbachia species can infect mammalian cells, even human cells in vitro. Horizontal transmission in insects and among helminths occur via cell-to-cell invasion, predation, and cannibalism, among other possibilities, establishing the potential for horizontal transfer to animals and humans as well. Hence, Wolbachia species should be further evaluated as causes of human infection. Now, you might recall in Florida, there was this huge campaign to stop the Ozotec trials. And frankly, I'm not a fan of either technology because we don't live in a world with only 80s to worry about. But I am 2% worried about Ozotec and 98% concerned about Wolbachia.
Okay.
And
so,
there's only, sorry?
Go ahead.
There's only three researchers that I've found that agree with me. Dr. Anthony A. James, and I do want to quote these people because they have their doctorates. He suggested that these genetic tools might not be the best strategies for Zika, given at this point there seems to be multiple vectors, not only at the species, but also at the population level. And he stressed the current genetic technologies would not be appropriately applied to such complex systems. And the other one I found a month ago, under a paywall, so it's hard to find this, this was in the AAAS, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, by Elgin Loretto and Gabriel Walu. And they wrote a whole paper on this. But here's some snippets. Wolbachia strains, including the W. mellex strains, are capable of transferring horizontally among distantly related arthropods in a short evolutionary time. And this very much disturbed me. The Cardenina Protocol, which is the UN's, the United Nations safety regulation for the use of genetically modified organisms, stated it is not applicable to Wolbachia-infected mosquitoes because, get this, they consider the bacteria non-transgenic. Now, Loretto and Walu, and this was just 2016 that they wrote this, they concluded the release of insects hosting Wolbachia strains should be more carefully considered, and further studies of the potential impact of these bacteria on biodiversity should be undertaken before this strategy can be widely used. Well, that's not happening. They're pushing this right through, and the Trump administration has thrown out about half of the EPA science panels. Now, the other thing is Ozotec, which this is the deal with Ozotec, even though everybody shut them down in Florida, but they were saying, this is what got me. They're saying, yeah, we want the bacteria, the natural bacteria. Well, snake venom is natural. So, and I was thinking, you know what this is? This is a game of like you play with a child where you say, do you want to have corn or peas? And the child just thinks, oh, I've got these two choices, so I'm going to go with, you know. But people don't realize this, that how dangerous this whole bag is. And even Ozotec wrote this on the docket, opposed to Wolbachia.
I'm so sorry to do this, Mark. The phone's ringing.
Oh, that's okay.
Hello? Yes, Derek? Hey, just a second. I have to pause something. And on, go.
Yeah, and so Ozotec even wrote a very impressive note opposed to the Wolbachia. They wrote, several studies have shown that gene transfers between Wolbachia and their insect hosts may result in gene transfers ranging from nearly the entire Wolbachia genome to short insertions into various hosts. And get this, Wolbachia could introduce over 1,000 new genes into the target mosquito with unknown consequences. Ozotec self-limiting genetic engineering is well-defined and includes only two well-studied genes. Well, I'm not keen on that technology, but Wolbachia is something you should be 1,000% more concerned about. And the safety assessing these releases, this got me. They stated the different samples collected were meant to represent a full variety of species or environment in which Wolbachia could have disseminated. And get this, the samples comprise soil samples, plant leaves and roots, earthworms and millipedes. And that's all in Australia. So shocking to me is they did not test birds, bats, culex mosquitoes, planktivorous fish and other aquatic species. And there were studies on mice and chicken embryos by Hertig, 1936, that said it could not cause a problem in these invertebrates. But here's the thing. Wolbachia evolves to ensure its survival. It'll take over a cell. It's like Jekyll and Hyde in some species. And the other thing is mice and chicken embryos hardly represent the species that will acquire inordinate amounts of it. And if you dive into the literature, you know, depending on the species and environmental conditions, Wolbachia can either impede or promote a pathogen's replication and survival, including viruses. And the authors attributed to that are Zug and Hammerstein, 2015. And there are numerous examples in study literature. Japanese encephalitis virus, Drosophila C virus, Plasmodium, that's malaria. And some of these are recent studies, and people aren't looking at this. So here's the deal. For the last 7 years, we've got it in the food chain now. Wolbachia is between 800 and 1,500 nanometers, and it can even hide viruses within it. Zika is only 40 nanometers. West Nile is larger, I believe. And as I said, I think it's the phage that is causing the worst manifestations of Zika, the microcephaly and the visual problems, the breathing problems with Guillain-Barré syndrome, and, of course, the gonads, because Wolbachia is a reproductive parasite. We've never had, West Nile is not known to infect the gonads. So three teams of researchers have determined one phage, which could be Zika, could potentially be used to modify a broad range of Wolbachia strains. And those researchers, I'm very much a stickler for crediting people. Tanaka et al. 2009, Kent and Bordenstein 2010, and Wang et al. 2013. So, not testing for Wolbachia invertebrates is willful negligence in my mind. And what had me pretty upset was that mosquito mate, this is the one about to release them in 20 U.S. states, and I just found out they're going to do it via drones in South and Central America, either later this year or early 2018. And what Mosquito Mate is quoted on their site is, our technology only impacts mosquitoes. And Eliminate Dengue says, Wolbachia is safe for humans, animals, and the environment. Well, this is entirely false. It may do so when only Aedes albopictus and Aedes aegypti are the only mosquitoes in our world that transmit disease, but we don't have that happening. And there are even Culex species of larvae that feed off Aedes larvae. There's a type of copepod that will nibble at as many larvae as it can, Aedes larvae. It's called Mesocyclops longicetus. I'm not sure I'm saying that right. But one of those copepods can destroy 40 Aedes larvae, and the contents spill out into the seawater. And what I thought may be happening is that this newly infected plankton, so zooplankton, which is copepods, it'll be eaten by small planktiferous fish, sand eels, terns, and gulls, and larger planktiferous fish, such as herring, will consume them, and so on. And when these North Atlantic right whales started dying, I stopped everything. I was like a quarter of the way through my Zika documentary, and I said, wait a minute, what do these baleen whales eat? And they're getting inordinate amounts looking at both their diet and where they go, where they migrate. So look at it this way. Over 28,000 cases of Zika were reported in Puerto Rico last year, and that was October 2016. And 80% of people have no symptoms. And as I said before, both Wolbachia and Zika are maternally inherited. It'll be in the dead mosquitoes, the eggs, the larvae, which zooplankton, copepods, and krill feed upon. And that's what these whales eat. Now, some of these whales have been spotted as far south as Mexico and Florida. And there's a totally ignored study out of Mexico that found three species of Culex to be Zika vectors, Culex tarsalis, and Culex, and this is a hard word for me to say, quinquefasciatus. I'll just call it Culex Q. Well, these are, Culex tarsalis covers most of the U.S., and it's highly competent as a vector of West Nile virus, St. Louis encephalitis virus, and Western equine encephalitis virus, which affects horses. These copepods and other species that feed preferentially off the Aedes genus, they're going to get inordinate amounts. So the waters surrounding many islands in the Caribbean, Mexico, and Florida are obviously teeming with Zika and Wolbachia-infected Aedes and Culex mosquitoes, eggs, and larvae. And don't forget, these things get washed into streams. They don't respect political boundaries or otherwise. This gets absorbed by something else. So putting it into a species so high up in the food chain, a reproductive parasite, it's going to have trickle-down effects, and it is. But there is a great effort to hide that. I feel like the last time I corresponded with Dr. Fiona Hunter, she sent me a paper that was co-authored by Scott O'Neill. And he's been working on the Eliminate Dengue, which is the Wolbachia-infected Aedes releases in Australia for 20 years with the WHO. And we've got USAID and Bill and Melinda Gates, two family foundations, the UK government, the Brazilian government, and the Australian government all funding these. So this is huge. It's like you can almost see why it's so hard to fight for this being stopped, because billionaires are funding it. And they're also funding the universities. And every expert I looked up about Wolbachia, Jack Warren, I wrote to him. He's never responded. Well, his university and his institute was given $10 million by Bill and Melinda Gates as a grant. And all the universities in Texas, they're all funded. It's almost like, look, nobody's going to be willing to say anything bad about this, because this is the hand that feeds their university and their research labs. So this is where I say we have this groupthink situation going on. Go ahead.
So I'm trying to I'm sorry if I'm being slow, but I'm still trying to understand physically what the concerns are. And the concern, let me know if I have this correctly. One of the concerns is that the Wolbachia-infected Aedes mosquitoes will be released, and the larva, for example, can have this bacteria inside of them. And then as the bacteria, let's say there's a larvae that is then consumed by a mosquito fish, or a larva that's consumed by a dragonfly nymph, that Wolbachia would then possibly be transmitted to the new species, who would then, or it could go through and actually be expelled through the proboscis into somebody when it feeds off of them. And so that way it could be transmitted to deer or, I don't know, rabbits or humans. Am I understanding this correctly? Is this what we're talking about?
Actually, yes. The problem is that you put Wolbachia into the Aedes genus, and sure, maybe it stays there, but eventually trillions of these Aedes die and something else feeds off them. And there's even parasites that can transmit Wolbachia to the Culex. There's about 13 types, I think, of blood-sucking arthropods that can transmit diseases to mammals and humans.
So in that case, the concern would be that the Wolbachia would end up in the Culex or in some other type of being, who arthropod or whomever, who then could also transmit the Wolbachia to somebody they feed off of. Is this, am I still understanding correctly?
Yes, and here's the deal, is that Culex, the two Culex species that are found to be Zika vectors in Mexico, Tarsalis and Quinquefasciatus, when those species naturally acquired Wolbachia, they became better vectors of West Nile virus and malaria. And Zika shares the same phylogenetic clad with over 97% nodal support with West Nile virus. And I almost fell off my chair when I heard Dr. Robert Haley, the epidemiologist, head of epidemiology at one of the universities, I think in Texas. He said, West Nile and Zika are entirely different. And I thought, what is going on here? Because Zika is almost, it's almost like West Nile with a side of Wolbachia, because it targets the gonad. So when this started, when these whales, okay, started dying, vertebrate die-offs, like the whales and Arctic terns, with West Nile, they had major bird die-offs. And West Nile's in actually over 300 species of birds. Some birds become very ill, like crows and jays, they'll drop dead, whereas others are amplifying hosts, such as, I believe, the American robin can amplify it like almost a billion times more than a human can. So what often happens with West Nile, and I draw your attention to West Nile because nobody's willing to really look at what Zika has in common with West Nile, probably because of the funding. But if you have a Culex mosquito and they with West Nile virus and birds, you have a sylvatic cycle where this virus is maintained. So what often happens with West Nile is you have somebody bitten by a Culex, but it had blood fed off a bird, so it's amplified. And this is very weird, but there was a newsletter in John Hopkins that was saying people usually don't get sick or die from Zika. Well, we did have a gent in Utah where there's no Aedes aegypti. He apparently traveled, I think, to Mexico. He had 100,000 times more virus particles in his blood. Well, if you've studied anything about West Nile virus and the sylvatic cycle with birds, is you'll think right away, Culex bit a bird and then bit him. But all the public's been told is Aedes aegypti, Aedes albopictus. And this is a dangerous half-truth. That's what this is. And to think that putting Will back into these 80s, I don't know if they think the public, anybody's taking biology in high school will know, well, eventually something else absorbs it. I mean, on any given day, we have hundreds of dead birds and bats. Bats can hold about 40 viruses, I believe, of that cause human disease. The planktiferous fish, these Adélie penguins, in the last 5 years, they've had two mass die-offs, and I'm talking thousands of chicks. Well, in 2002, we had a huge piece of ice called the Larsen B, is the size of Rhode Island. It broke off, and yet no die-offs of these chicks were reported. And nothing like this was seen in 50 years of observation. Now, this was a colony of 40,000, and the media was reporting that the parents had to travel too far to get food. So thousands of these chicks died off. Well, these penguins are extremely hardy. They can dive to like 574 meters deep for food, and they migrate 13,000 kilometers annually. And sure enough, I thought, okay, what did they eat? Well, Jarman et al., 2013, quote, copepods are a major food item. So what happens is disease happens when there's an inordinate amount of Wolbachia. And with lymphatic filariasis, it often takes many years for this to show up in people. And what happens is their legs become twice, they'll have one leg twice the size, the scrotum will enlarge to like size of a base, like a basketball almost. Like if you look this up, it's scary stuff. The thing is, it takes years. So what's going to happen is Kulaks will eventually acquire this. And there's numerous ways it can happen. And even Dean and Dobson 2004 and Plaichart and Legrand 2005 have confirmed that Wolbachia could invade from a very low prevalence. Well, the flip side of that, to have empathy for Scott O'Neill and his 20 years of work in this, is that he's saying that after 6 years, 90% of the mosquitoes, you know, that have, you know, they only live a few weeks. 90% were still infected with Wolbachia. So this is something you don't have to keep releasing. Well, that's entirely the dangerous thing about it. Because when I looked at that, I said it's going to take decades to restore the ecological balances in these areas. And you can't take it back. There's no way to take this back because it's maternally inherited. So the eggs and the larvae, Kulaks can overwinter viruses. Zika's been found in pools of male mosquitoes. That's what the study out of Mexico found, which was really worrisome because now we know, okay, Wolbachia and Zika are both maternally transmitted. They just keep on going. So my own research, and nobody's done this, is I wrote an article about Zika in men and the symptoms, and I don't promote it because I wanted to have as many organic visits as I can. And right from the get-go, Quezon City, which is in the Philippines, has always been at the top of the list. I didn't know anything about Quezon. I look it up, the most homeless people in the world, including 1.2 million children. So that points again to Kulaks. But because Kulaks and Aedes are so different, the public has been told this half-truth, Aedes aegypti, Aedes albopictus, daytime biters, daytime biters, daytime active. I think that's been jammed down everyone's throat in this black and white mosquito. Well, guess what? Aedes could be the ones causing 80% of the milder cases, and Kulaks could be the one responsible for the 20%, along with Wolbachia, that's causing microcephaly, that's causing men to go sterile, have plummeting testosterone levels, and they're going to suffer depression. And then Guillain-Barré, that also affects men more. And what that does is, even in the best of conditions, I think 3 to 5% of people die, and breathing muscles are affected. People have to use ventilators, paralysis. Even after 6 months, 20% can't walk. This is really scary stuff. And as I said, I can only count like on one hand the number of people that are willing to speak out against this. It will get eventually, I mean, it's not like going to be tomorrow. They release them and tomorrow it suddenly ends up. It's going to take years. But the homeless are going to get inordinate amounts of it from repeated bites by Culex that can transmit it directly, including the one that can cause river blindness. So I don't know. So yeah, go ahead.
So it sounds like what you're suggesting is that this, they're wanting to put out this Wolbachia-infected mosquito in order to collapse the populations of that particular mosquito. And what you're suggesting is that there is a we'll be conservative, there is a reasonable chance that what they're instead doing is introducing yet another species, Wolbachia, into areas where it may not have been previously, which will then ramify both through the natural community and through human health concerns. Am I hearing you correctly?
Absolutely. And Wolbachia can survive outside of a cell at least a week. And West Nile is one that can survive for 5 days. Zika's been found to be very resilient. I don't know how many days, but a week with Wolbachia alone is ample time for other organisms to transfer it horizontally to the Culex species or even ticks. You know, we've got ticks, fleas, we've got a few other species of blood-sucking arthropods.
The larger pattern that is one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you is that this is something we see all the time where this culture really seems to have a pattern of conducting open-air experiments in the real world and then somehow being surprised that the world is more complex than they thought and the action that they took had more consequences than they anticipated. That's a pattern we've seen uncountable times.
Absolutely. Invasive. Like, you're almost creating a brand new species when you put Wolbachia into something that never had it naturally. So you're absolutely right.
You know, and there's a line that you had in one thing you wrote, the Wolbachia can never be taken back. Then you said no way to put the genie back in the bottle. And there's a very small, a trivial example of this here, that I live next to a pond that was dug back in the 70s or something. It's an artificial pond, and it has lots of frogs in it. And when I moved in here 20 years ago, some people suggested, oh, you should put in fish, and it'd be nice to have, like, fish swimming around the pond. And the reason I didn't is because it's a lot easier not to put the fish in than it is to take them out if they hurt the frogs.
Yeah, good analogy.
And so it's the same on this, that before you do any sort of open-air experiment, I mean, it kind of stuns me that like you said, these tests, and where are the tests? If you have mosquitovores, you would think that those would be the immediate ones you would test. Bats, birds, other insects. What are the effects on a dragonfly nymph who eats Wolbachia infected Aedes? And if the answer is you don't know, I mean, there's this thing both you and I have heard of, I'm sure, called the precautionary principle, which is you don't do something. The burden of proof is that something has to be shown to be safe before you do it, instead of the burden of proof being that you have to show harm. It's like, for God's sake, dragonfly nymphs eat tons, I shouldn't use that word. They eat a lot. They eat a lot of mosquito larvae. That's what they do. Yeah. And so if there is a potentiality of accumulation, then that study would need to be done. And if Bill Gates is going to throw billions of dollars into this or millions of dollars, I mean, hell, I don't care what they're doing. I mean, I don't care where the money comes from, and I'm sure a lot of the people at the universities don't either. That if Bill Gates is going to give money for that, why don't they give money to dragonfly experts to test what this does to dragonflies? And then do the same thing for what it does to, I see in somewhere that you mentioned helminths, whipworms.
Yeah.
And what are the effects on whipworms? What are the cross? I mean, for God's sake, if we haven't learned from the chestnut blight, and we haven't learned from Dutch elm disease, and we haven't learned from every other time that they've introduced some exotic species, rabbits in Australia, for God's sake.
Yep.
You know, if we haven't learned from all that, mongooses in Hawaii. I mean, for God's sake, this is ever mosquitoes in Hawaii, for God's sake. And sorry, I'm just ranting. It just pisses me off that this culture, this is one of the reasons, this just kills me that we haven't learned a goddamn thing. Because they're intentionally going to introduce this new species without doing due diligence. So it doesn't matter to me whether you are the sanest person in the world and this is all 100% right, or whether you're wrong on everything. It doesn't really matter, because the important thing is they're doing this open air experiment, which is stupid.
You're absolutely right, and we can't take it back, and it will take decades to probably restore the ecological balances. And one of the things Dr. Constancia Ayers, if we had followed her lead February 2016, when she was researching Zika, Zika took an ugly turn in French Polynesia, and that's where these first Wolbachia-infected releases were carried out. And this is where it became something that caused Guillain-Barré syndrome in thousands of people. And this has been glossed over by the WHO, this whole thing. And she said, this was her point. She said, why in the human environment only Aedes is the villain? And if I wanted your listeners to key onto one thing, is why can't we test vertebrates for Wolbachia? Because at every turn, people have, I've had, you wouldn't believe the trolling I've gone through over this. It's ridiculous. And we have maybe papers authored, co-authored by people invested in this that are saying, oh, it's safe because mice and chicken embryos in 1936 didn't have a problem. Well, maybe chicken embryos and mice can handle a little extra Wolbachia. But as you said, birds, bats, culex, planktiferous fish, other aquatic species that are going to acquire it have not been studied at all. And we need these species to be okay. And when these North Atlantic right whales died, I was very concerned. I started a petition. And the reason I did is because these whales have a body temperature very similar to humans. And the thinking, another excuse used to be, well, mammals are too warm to acquire Wolbachia. Well, that is entirely false, too. So there are studies out there. They're ignored. ABC News has entirely, and Discus has entirely deleted, not allowed any of my commentary. And then I found out Bill and Melinda Gates gave ABC News $1.2 million to cover his efforts to help the poor. So I think, and I will tell you this honestly, anybody that has studied the sciences passionately will come to the same conclusions. I've been entrenched in this for a year and a half, pretty much every day. And I think there are people wanting to speak out, but they're silenced. Their funding is affected by it. Fiona Hunter should have hundreds of people citing her, but she's only had one citation of her paper, that her paper was targeting only 80s, has worldwide health implications. It's been cited once. And so what happens is the media also looks, you know, some journalists like to think, okay, I'm independent, I'll look at this. They look it up and they see that so-and-so has been, Dr. Scott O'Neill, he's been cited 300 times. And Fiona Hunter once. So let's go with whatever Scott O'Neill says. And to be fair, I'm sure when you're 20 years into the technology to eliminate dengue and do this, the last thing you want to hear is, uh-oh, culex are acquiring it naturally. And now they're better vectors of Zika and malaria and West Nile virus. So there is a lot of effort by billionaires to suppress anything that points to Wolbachia. And I'll even go as far to say is they released the Ozotec stuff, which is just, you know, it's well-defined, includes two well-studied genes purposely added, and they were approved by the FDA. Now, these are released in the same area as Wolbachia, so everybody's blaming Ozotec in northeastern Brazil. Well, there's another study by Okia et al. In 1971 that found that almost half of bulbuls have Zika. And I've tried to let a few authors know about it, and they said, well, they didn't know it existed. And maybe you can put it as a PDF somewhere online. Well, these are under paywalls, and the abstracts are completely removed from the PubMed listings. And only Fiona Hunter and I found it. We got to look at birds, because West Nile has 300 species of birds that can carry it. Well, half of bulbuls have Zika, and I found out bulbuls are in Miami-Dade, Florida, an introduced species, Harris County, Houston, Texas, northeastern Brazil in three provinces, or maybe they're called states there, sorry about that, northeastern Brazil, and of course they're in Southeast Asia, they're a popular pet bird. And nobody's looking at that. So you've got people saying it's primates. Well, there's a good chance, based on if you follow the science and not the hype, that this is not Zika fever, but Zika encephalitis. It's in with the encephalitis viruses. It's not in with dengue and yellow fever the way the WHO and the UN and anyone funded really by USAID or Bill and Melinda Gates wants to lump it. And we've got people with more degrees than you can believe saying things that are absolutely false. And it just floors me. Follow the science, spend 2 years in it like I have, and you'll come to the same conclusion. Wolbachia is the unspoken cofactor. And all I'm saying is, why can't we test for it in vertebrates? Because now we have men, oh God, this should ring alarm bells. There was a WWF report that showed that grassland species have declined 69%. Shorebirds or seabirds, I think, was 52%. And gosh, something else. What was the other one? I can't remember. Anyways, huge declines, whereas the fish populations have declined 20%, which is still huge. In men, fertility rates in Western men have declined 52%. And Dr. Levine, who I did write and put my theory out there, he thanked me. He hasn't said anything since. He stated it's not clearly not genetic. It must be something in the environment or lifestyle factors. And I'm thinking, okay, lifestyle. So are we going to start hearing that, you know, now that they want to legalize cannabis, are we going to hear that's causing it? Because the other day I saw a promoted post that said, to what extent does air pollution cause infertility? I couldn't believe it. I thought, this is getting ridiculous. Like, next thing it's going to be climate change is causing infertility. Meanwhile, for the last 7 years around the world, various places, a reproductive parasite has been put so high up in the food chain. And there's about a dozen species of blood-sucking arthropods that can acquire it through Aedes. Sure, Aedes maybe isn't going to transmit it directly to a human, but these things die and are absorbed by something else. It's so logical. Like, a grade school kid could get that. So I even wrote, oh God, I even thought this is a crime against humanity. And I know that sounds pretty far-fetched, but trillions of these released, they're going to die eventually. That's the thing. If they're going to release them by drones, a lot of them aren't going to live. But my sense is they don't care. All they're trying to do is release a reproductive parasite into the atmosphere that they know will be acquired by birds and kuliks. And then it will get wrapped up into a sylvatic cycle. And this is likely how repeated bites by the kulik species, which you're never told about or shown pictures of, repeated bites, especially in homeless souls, they're going to eventually have breathing issues, paralysis, perhaps blindness, definitely become sterile, plummeting fertility. It's mostly men are going to be affected.
So we have like one minute left. So what do you want listeners to do with this information?
Demand that vertebrates be tested for Wolbachia, including humans, because the book Immunology, Inflammation, and Diseases of the Eye by Perlman and Gentile clearly states Wolbachia is most numerous in the mammalian host compared with the insect stage, and even elevated Wolbachia DNA and intact Wolbachia are detected in the blood within 7 days in mammals, and the bacterial number counts can increase 600-fold. So there is absolutely no reason we can't test for this in endangered species, vertebrates, men, women, children. There's no way. There's no excuse. And if they're going to release these billionaires, and we find it in vertebrate species, then we know it was acquired, how it was acquired. Because we are being lied to. It is definitely, it can infect mammalian cells, even human cells in vitro. We know it can happen.
Well, thank you so much. Now, I'd like to thank listeners for listening. My guest today has been Rose Webster. This is Derek Jensen for Resistance Radio on the Progressive Radio Network.